This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Tuesday, September 27th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today as we have a conversation with a legend, a standard bearer who for 9.5 years has been the unofficial spokesman regarding the history of Bahamian sport. Today, this dynamic, at least his dynamic show, is on its sunset, right? And it's usually Track World with Alpheus Finlayson. And today, it's going to be his last show. And I'm here to celebrate him. I'm going to make sure that his earplugs is on so you can hear me. Can you hear it? You good?
No, I can't.
Okay. So then listen to me for the meanwhile.
Yes,
until I get the producer inside to check his...
I'm hearing it.
Yes, good. Yes. You're hearing it now? So good.
Live and in living color.
Live and in living color. And I'm here to celebrate you. I wanted to speak to you. I wanted to get on record. Who is this Alpheus Finlayson? Who is this Hawk person, right? And in order to start that conversation, I want to start at the beginning. I wanted to start at the beginning of who are your parents? And I know you grew up in Palmdale. No. Let me correct that.
Valley.
The Valley. I just going to say, let me correct that. I call that Palmdale, but you...
Valley.
You're all right next to the big church.
We have three Miss Bahamases. Three Miss Bahamases. One is out of Grand Bahama.
Mm-hmm.
And she became Miss Bahamas, and she still works at tourism.
Yeah.
And then Norma Davis' daughter.
Mm-hmm. And see, and this is why I like you. You're a historian. I mention one thing, and then you go off and say, do you know this? And do you know that?
Mm-hmm.
But now I wanted people to know you. Who is your mommy and daddy?
My father is Alpheus Alexander Finlayson from Mangrove Key.
So you're a junior?
Junior, yes.
And you're an Andrus man?
The only child. The first child.
The first child.
Yes.
And is this North in Andrus or the South Andrus?
From Mangrove Key all the way south.
I don't know.
We ain't checking up north. The north people are different.
You're Central and South Andrus.
Yes,
I understand that.
Yes.
And who's your mummy? Who's your mummy?
Diana DeVoe from Morristown, Exuma.
I always thought DeVoe was a Cat Island name, but she's a...
they're Cat Island people. Mm-hmm. They're DeVoes, okay? They're DeVoes, but Cat Island.
Okay, but they born in Exuma.
Born in Morristown, Exuma.
And where were you born? You were born on the family island or you were born in New Providence? That's why I can get a sense.
I was born in New Providence. We all were born in New Providence.
Okay. So now I get that sort out. You are what you call it? I call it Palmdale. What you call it again?
The Valley Boy.
You're a Valley Boy. And I wanted to know who were your contemporaries growing up? Like people I may know or come across.
Well, you may know Wendell Major.
Mm-hmm.
His sister was Brenda Major. She was the first Miss Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He went to St. Augustine's.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're talking about some people. He is from Eleuthera.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to remember his first name because he's been in Eleuthera
for a while.
And then we have the people around the somebody called Sparrow Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
And his brother was, Stan Smith.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've heard of the name Stan Smith.
Only Ambassador Stan Smith I know.
That's our cousin's son, and we're going to visit him at the UN in December.
Yeah, look at that.
Yes. And then across the street, we connected with the Sands family.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you ever heard of Rosalind Davis?
Yes.
And who is she?
I
That's Ronnie's mother.
Oh, okay.
Ronnie Butler's mother.
Okay.
And she died at 103 or 104.
God bless her.
And they were setting up for Ronnie's situation, and Ronnie was gone.
Mm-hmm.
But he lived, that's Spence's godfather.
Mm-hmm.
Spence, well, you could brag about Ronnie.
I can talk with Spence soon, but go ahead.
Yes, you could brag about Ronnie. And then we have people a little further down the street like Ronnie Knowles.
Mm-hmm.
Ronnie Knowles, he now lives in Grand Bahama.
Mm-hmm.
But he has the place, Nellie Wright, where you have, Lord, there's a place as you're going west.
Mm-hmm.
You know where BTC is?
Going west.
Yeah, going west.
Go ahead.
So you go look north.
Mm-hmm.
That's where Ronnie Knowles' business is, but he works out of Grand Bahama.
Okay.
We went to school together. He no different from me. And then down and down, we have people like Cleso Munnings,
mm-hmm,
all the way down the street. I can't forget Smokey,
mm-hmm,
and that's
Smokey 007?
No, not that one. He used to run. He is former Prime Minister's Christie's brother. Oh,
okay.
So he was a great triple jumper.
Mm-hmm.
A great triple jumper. He is the first person.
Everybody you're calling who live in the Valley is related to sports in some way.
Well, of course.
Because when I think of the Valley, I look at the Godet family and say, hey.
Oh, you started that?
Yeah, but you won't call it him.
No, you know how this show came up?
Go ahead.
The first show is that somebody missed the show twice.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody called and he said, why don't you all talk about the Pioneers?
Mm-hmm.
But it moved a little further from that,
mm-hmm,
this show this evening will be everything that we have done in sports for a long time, like Mike Sands.
And we will talk about your
yes
show and the culmination of your show, especially
yes
celebrating that you were on Guardian Radio for 9.5 years, every Tuesday at 6:30 to 7:30. And that's coming to the end now, and we're celebrating that. But I still want to know more about you. How did you end up to the only school in the Bahamas? I'm
there are plenty of schools in the
There's
Bahamas.
Only one school.
My brother,
you
my
go,
brother,
you go to SAC, you go to SAC, or you don't go to school.
High.
No, that's not a school, man.
It's
either you go to St. Augustine's
He'd
College.
He'd like to hear you say that.
You know, or you don't go to school at all.
I hear you.
You know?
I hear you.
So how did you end up going to St. Augustine's College, and who was at SAC with you?
Well, I always wanted to go to St. Augustine. You know why?
Mm-hmm.
You ever heard of Hugh Bullitt?
No.
Hugh Bullitt went to pass now. He went to with Hugh Bullitt, along with Tommy Robinson,
mm-hmm,
okay? And another guy, he is out of Grand Bahama. Not out of Grand Bahama, out of Bimini.
Mm-hmm.
You know any of the Bimini people?
No.
Okay, so I'll leave that.
I only know the Francis. There's some rolls there. Yeah, there's some
roll is like American roots.
Yeah,
they're all over the place. Yes.
You know, the Winders are there.
Yeah, I know Ray Winder.
The Gomez is from there.
I know the Gomez.
You know, so I know
the
some
whole
some,
family, yes.
some Bimini names. I know
yes,
some Bimini
yes,
names.
Yes, yes, yes.
But staying back on the track, track with you. And how did you, and still want, you said you always wanted to go to SAC, right?
Yes.
And I know you're in the Valley, but how is a working class boy from the Valley end
well,
up
well,
at
let
SAC?
Me tell you, let go me ahead tell you how I got there. To SAC.
Mm-hmm.
I applied for SAC, but you know, we go to St. George's.
Mm-hmm.
We are not Catholic. And because they had one more place, and the fellas died now,
mm-hmm,
that's how, and we didn't have, it was sent to his post office box, and that's how I got to go to SAC. And the person who went with me at Eastern Junior is somebody, attorney Malcolm Adley.
Mm-hmm. And he went to SAC too?
Well, of course.
Yes. So you matriculated from Eastern Junior?
Yes.
But
we went to school late because of all the schools, you could go to school forever and ever. You didn't need to go to the school that cost plenty of money.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got to St. Augustine's after the second year, I got a scholarship all the way through.
You get a scholarship? What did you get a scholarship for?
Just doing well in school. And there's something that I did, two things I did at St. Augustine's. Mm-hmm. At my second year in school, I beat everybody. That's number one.
And you say beat, what you mean? Because you know...
With their grades. With their grades.
In my era, when you say beat, you mean no, you get cut behind.
No, not that.
You got to be specific. I'm a different generation.
Okay. I'm saying that when one of the things I did mm-hmm. was to pass math and physics mm-hmm. with 1 year to go.
Nice.
And this was a Chinese fella. And only two of us have done that.
Mm-hmm. So you went to SAC and made record, and they recognized you.
Yes, and then I went to St. John's in Minnesota.
Okay. So what year did you finish SAC? So I get moved from that era. Mm-hmm. I know it's a long time ago.
1966. Me, Martin Lundy, George Wilson, and all through.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you end up going to St. John's, which means you continue the legacy of the Catholic education.
Now, some went to St. Thomas, which was a Catholic school. Mm-hmm. But that was a little bit further, closer to Minneapolis.
Okay.
St. Paul, it was in St. Paul. But we went all the way down to St. John's in Minnesota, about 80 miles from Minneapolis Airport.
And what did you study there?
I studied, it is a joke, I studied math and statistics.
Yeah?
Yeah. Math and what's the other thing? Physics.
And physics. So you continued that.
Yeah. But what is so interesting is that, you know when the government changed? Mm-hmm. Which year the government changed?
Which you mean from the UBP to the PLP or
yes,
the PLP
yes,
to the...
Yes, yes,
67.
67. So that was the next year.
Okay.
That was the next year. And what happened is that I failed the physics.
Oh, gosh.
And you know what I used to do? Mm-hmm. I would think about track and field, mm-hmm. the practice. Mm-hmm. And I got an F in what I was doing. And they gave me another chance, mm-hmm. and I got an A.
Nice.
And it makes a difference.
So you mentioned track throughout the whole conversation. Mm-hmm. And people in the Bahamas know Hawk Phyllis as a track.
And plenty other things.
Yeah, plenty other things. Yes. I want to talk insurance, and you skipped rail to track. So let's talk about track and field. When were you introduced to sports in the Bahamas? Because I know you were president of the B3As, president of the Pioneers Track and Field Club. So sports and track and field was your life, right? But you were a strawny boy in the valley, right? How did track and field become a part of your life too?
Well, let me tell you the story.
Go ahead.
At my age, there was no Pioneers. Mm-hmm. That's a different story. There was a club that was around, and Doyle and Gus and them were so young, nobody was checking for them. Mm-hmm. So where did I have to go? You know where Charlie, this is up the street where the Catholic Church is. Mm-hmm. The Catholic Church.
Go ahead, I'm listening.
No, I'm saying if you go to the corner coming, you know St. Joseph Church?
I know St. Joseph Church.
Yeah, the coach was my coach.
Oh, okay.
Charlie Wright. Uh-huh. Charlie would ask me. Charlie would say, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that, you shouldn't do the next thing. And when I came home, mommy said, well, who this man is anyhow? Mm-hmm. You know what that tells you? You listen to the coach. Mm-hmm. Plenty of people don't listen to coaches anymore. Mm-hmm. They think they know everything.
But we know that a young child should be involved in some type of
extracurricular
activities because it instills discipline, it instills self-worth and mm-hmm. being a part of a team. And I'm trying to find out, at what age did you join a track club? Were you still in high school?
I was about 12, I think.
So you were 12. So you're still at SAC then?
No, there was no SOC. I wasn't at SOC. I'm talking about when the Pioneers started. Mm-hmm. They started on the 10th of this particular month.
Okay.
But I was not there. I was with Charlie. Right.
Running with Charlie.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Much younger.
Okay. So how
And Gustem started the club. They were about 17.
Ah, they were older.
Just like how they do it in John Canoe.
Yes. Like how they did in the Valley.
Yes.
And have you competed or represented the Bahamas internationally?
For all intents and purposes, no.
No.
No. I've been involved in the sport.
I know you've been involved, and I'm just trying to get this
not
lineage.
Not participated. I know everything about track and field, so what I'm saying is that I never was on a team with the Bahamas.
Okay. And I'm going to go there and prick you there because I want to know how you get to be the president of B3A, not being what I call a international star like everybody else. Normally, that's like the prerequisite. So I want to know how did you happen that. But I see what the phone is blinking. So producer patched that caller through as we talk to Alpheus Hawk Fillinson, pioneer and in the Bahamas in terms of sports and a historian. But go ahead, caller.
So I had an
Wait, one minute for me. Let's get the caller through. Go ahead, caller.
A pleasant good morning, Mr. Jury.
Good morning to you.
And a pleasant good morning to the man I swear my allegiance to, the king of the Valley Boy when it comes to sports and all that knows about sports. Hawkman Phyllis and Sparky here. He's
Thank
one
you.
Of our seniors, Mr. Nuri. He's one of I followed behind him, me and all his brothers, Joey and Spence and Sparrow and him and Gus and all of those were the originals, like I always talked about. And this is another one of those guys that we all looked up to evolve in St. George's. Who was not in St. George's, either went to St. Thomas More, I think, Hawkman, or they went to Rhodes Memorial, or they went to Annex Baptist Church. And we all, that was our stomping ground, although most of us have moved out of the valley now. It is still, the area is still referred to as the valley. There's hardly any Junkanoo Shacks or any Junkanoos living in the valley anymore these days. But I just want to say tops off, hats off to a great legend in the valley, none other than the Hawkman. My brother, hey, do well. I hope your families are doing well. And it's nice to hear you on your show every Tuesday. Nice to see Spence on his show every morning. I don't see Rosie that much. And then again, Hawkman, you know I got to say this before I go. I still miss one of the other fielders and his brother Joey.
Yes.
May you have a good day, Hawkman. We all know the story with Joey. May his spirit rest forevermore and come back in glory. One love.
Thank you, Sparky.
Okay. And Sparky allowed me to go back, reflect back. How did you get the name Hawk?
It's at SOC.
Oh, okay. Another SOC story. Go ahead. So
I used to long jump. Mm-hmm. And the way I long jump, I opened my legs and pulled it back. Everybody thought that it was for a different reason, and that was the reason.
And you got the nickname Hawkman.
Yes.
And it stuck with you from high school all the way to now adulthood man.
Yes,
matured man. Okay. And you are married. I'm not sure if you want to mention
44 years.
44 years with one woman.
That's my second wife.
Oh, the second one. And you're 44 years with the second. Wow.
Yeah.
And you have or had two children, right?
Well, one daughter and one stepson.
One stepson.
Yes.
And
our child.
Your child. I understand. And I bring that up because in the past, you were sharing stories about your son and endearment and challenges and growing up your children in general. And I think it's important for men to share their stories. And I vaguely, not in too detail, but I know that your son has passed. And I am familiar with the story of what happened to your son. And I want, if you can, share a little bit of that and some recommendation to young men who have children who are going through challenges and you need to advise them?
Well, we had a son, my first child, our first child, who got knocked down. Mm-hmm. And He had just turned 3. We had just come from Helsinki, all around the place. And as it happened, my wife said, hey, you too young, you can't go outside. So the other family, my nephew Oscar that we're talking about, they let him go. They were on the school and all of that, and that's what happened. But going from that, he had a change. And it is my belief, and I've found it out from a number of people, and that is that there's problem with their mind. Okay? And to explain that is that at our second national championships, I gave him something to do, and he couldn't do it. So from that, he got hooked up with some people who he shouldn't get hooked up with, but he enjoyed it. They're looking for him with the police, and he is just enjoying himself. So that basically is it. I am going to do, at some point, write something about him.
Yeah, I wanted you to share that story because people are going through similar things.
Plenty people,
right? And sadly, that your story ended tragically with your son with that. And I before I transition, what would you recommend to men who are grown up, young boys who are challenged?
Well. You have, first of all, listen to your parents. That's the first thing. And when you go into school, you go into school. You're not just going to school. You know, he would not go to school at points, you know. But there's a psychological thing, and people need to be able to deal with that. I'm talking about the parents now.
The parents.
Yes, yes.
Okay. And transitioning from that, right, and I appreciate you for going in some detail about that. And I thought it's important, right? Because, like I said, I heard your story and you're sharing it once or twice and doing recommendations. But now we're going to talk about how you get the president of the B3As, right? As it's normally sports standout who matriculate to be in charge. And your name is now etched in the halls to say, now you're one of the better presidents, right? So, how did you become the B3A president?
B.J. Nordage came home after doing his medical work. And I had just come home. I had seen B.J. He went to Government High, and I could always remember B.J. walking. And we were in the same club, you know, Charlie Wright. And when he came home and Carifta came, he made the difference. And a little further from that, we had the opportunity to be, Amos Ferguson was the president at that point, okay? And we had the opportunity to be a president of the Pioneers. And then after a while, I said, I'm the PR person of the B3As. I ain't doing that no more. Other people have to do that, you know? I know only person who could do PR. Yeah. So I mean, do the club. So that's what happened. And BJ thought that I was very good. I spent 8 years as the PR person for the B3As, and I spent I think it's 8 years with BJ as president. Okay.
Of the B3As.
And then BJ left it to me.
Okay. And let's talk Pioneer Track and Field Club. You end up being the president of the Pioneers Track and Field Club.
Yes.
The name of the Pioneers is, everyone knows, even if you don't follow and field at all. We know
but
that
there was another name, and I'll tell you that at a different time.
Yeah,
yes.
But tell me about the history of the Pioneer Track and Field Club. When you joined, who was there again? And what is its significance or importance to the Bahamas in sports?
Okay. As I said, the Pioneers was started in St. George's. Okay? Mm-hmm. St. George's School on the 10th of that month. Mm-hmm. And Amos Ferguson was the, at some point, was the president of the Pioneers. And we went on the show with Charles Carter. Mm-hmm. That was the first time me and Amos Ferguson were ever on any thing like ZNS.
Okay.
And I asked Charles at one point, could you find that? You can't find anything in ZNS. This is many years ago now. So what I'm saying is that that's how the Pioneers came. And as I say, they were like 13 years of age, just like the Valley Boys. Mm-hmm.
Young boys.
And
girls, go ahead.
And what's his name? We talked about his name. He will be on this evening. He will be on the show this evening.
Yes, on your show this evening at your combination there.
Yes.
And you became...
Rosie Gaudette.
Oh, Rosie Gaudette.
He was the president.
I understand. I understand.
People say, I can't remember, but it comes right back.
Good. And how important or why do you think track and field clubs are important to the Bahamas?
Well, let me tell you this.
Go ahead.
Track and field is, when you're talking about the Olympics, mm-hmm. think of all those other things in the Olympics. Mm-hmm. But when we're talking about track and field, it is the sport mm-hmm. of the Olympics. Track and field doesn't start, the Olympics don't start until track and field starts. Mm-hmm. So it's all over the world. Mm-hmm. It's all over the world.
It has excitement.
Yes.
And you have traveled, representing the Bahamas or accompanying the various Olympic team and whatever, Karifta team or whatever it is. Name me some places where you've gone. I know you've gone plenty. I see the pictures. I see the pictures all over the place.
This.
Go ahead.
I was in Moscow, mm-hmm. and I did a show from Moscow.
A live show from Moscow.
To here, live show.
Okay.
And guess who was there?
Who was there?
Putin. Looking all the way up.
Yeah.
All the way up. Mm-hmm. And then we have had the opportunity of right here. Talking to Stevie Gardner. Mm-hmm. I was the one who told Stevie he was going to be the best 400 and 200 meter person in the world. Mm-hmm. And so said, so done.
You're a soothsayer. You're a prophet, yeah. A sports prophet now.
And then there are other people that I interviewed. Avad Manka. Mm-hmm. He was the only Bahamian who won a world championships. Mm-hmm. And then Debbie Ferguson.
Icon. All these legends you're calling.
Mackenzie. Mm-hmm. So she was at the University of Houston. Mm-hmm. And I had a bunch of them there talking about track and field. Mm-hmm. And also, I have people all around the United States who listen to the show or I call them. You know, it isn't expensive to call from here to any part of the States. Mm-hmm. So that's what we have done. And, you know, this evening you're going to hear some other things that so exciting.
So I'm going to come back to the places you have traveled representing the Bahamas.
Oh, yes, yes.
Let me talk about your show for a bit. Because yes. I know you're excited about that, the last show, and you have some special guests, and it's going to be...
The final show.
The final. It's not the last show, it's the final show.
Final show.
And I know it's a different definition.
I went to the guests.
Yeah, I understand.
I say George.
The final show, right, is tonight, right? Mm-hmm. It's going to be a big thing, big celebration today, a lot of guests and information, right? How did that show come about? I mean, I know you come home, you're active in sports and track and field and promoting that, but how did you manage to have a show? Listen all over the world now.
Yeah, let me tell you this. The Beach Rays decided that they were going to have a show. Mm-hmm. But I was the only person talking. I can't be the only person talking. Mm-hmm. I may be smart, but other people should talk. That makes a difference in the show. Mm-hmm. And after that, it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. So the show started when my grandson was born. Mm-hmm. And his father called the show and said, the baby born. Mm-hmm. And you know how long that is, yeah. 9.5 years later.
9.5 years later.
Yes, yes.
So that there was a previous show, and out of that previous show birthed your show. So tell me about that first few months of
No, I'm saying that the B3s had a show.
Yes, I understood that.
I can't remember how long it was. Mm-hmm. It may have been a month mm-hmm. or more. Mm-hmm. And as I said,
it didn't work out.
It didn't work out.
But I want to know about your first 2-3 months on the show.
Oh, I decided to...
Talking about sports. I mean, how did that catch on?
Let me say this. Mm-hmm. I had the opportunity of knowing just about every track and field person. Mm-hmm. Okay? And with that in mind, I could talk with authority about track and field. Mm-hmm. And it is also connected to all the places I've been in the world and the things that I've done in the world.
Mm-hmm. So you tie that in.
Yes.
And because I've listened, like on Tuesday, I listened to your show, uh-huh. right? I listened to your show, and you were able to call some international sport and track and field stars, not regular people who perform. And then you were able to quote statistics regarding them, like off the cuff of your head.
That's my business, you know.
You know, off the cuff of your head.
That's my business.
And I wanted to know, because that made the show successful.
Yes.
That made the show successful because it's authentic. You sense that this is real. This is not people making this.
Of course.
Right?
Of course.
And I want to know, how were you able to connect, especially to these international stars? Not Bahamian, these foreign set people.
Well, first of all, I was the only Bahamian who has been to every world championships.
And see, going right back to that question again, where all have you gone to? But I still want to talk about how you get the place to get successful, but I still want to know some places.
Okay. But because of going here, there, and everywhere, as a matter of fact, when I went to Helsinki, the first event, guess who I was dealing with? Not here. I was dealing with Roger Caron, and he told us that, Alpheus, why don't you do a show to promote track and field? And when I went to all around the world, in Helsinki, I bought this small camera, and these people with these big cameras, and they were laughing at me. But I did some great pictures that came on one of the world sports shows, mm-hmm. you know. I'm talking about the newspaper.
Yes.
And so that is one thing. So I've been to everyone, mm-hmm. to everyone, except for the World Championships in Eugene, Oregon, but that's a topic for another discussion. Mm-hmm. So what happened is that because of being all over the place, somebody asked me, I asked them, do you think, and this is at the end of my tenure now, shouldn't you get involved in the world body? Mm-hmm. Oh, man, and some people weren't crazy about it, and some people were better than crazy about it. Mm-hmm. So I became the first Bahamian who was with the World Athletics Body.
You went international and represented.
International. One term now. Mm-hmm. And the next term was Pauline Davis. Mm-hmm. But that's a topic for another discussion. Mm-hmm. I suggested in BJ that Pauline would be on the world body with regards to, the women. Mm-hmm. Okay? And she won. So I was there for, there's some people liked me and there were some people didn't like me. Mm-hmm. But it's the numbers, you know. Mm-hmm. I was the last person to get elected. Let me say this about my granddaughter. Mm-hmm. She would come in the studio, in my office, and I had this thing as to who the people were in the world body right then. Mm-hmm. And she said, Papa, you're in that yet? I say, no, but Papa can get this. She saw it the next time. Papa can get it. And when I won, guess who was in the and the audience with me, mm-hmm. Tommy Robinson, mm-hmm. okay, and Foster Dawson. Mm-hmm. And what happened is that I called her. I said, Daddy, thank you very much. You see, children are not fair. They don't have any fear of that. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Yes.
So where do you see the Bahamas in regards to international sport, representing international bodies?
I forgot to mention Mike Sands.
Okay, Mike Sands. Yes.
Mike Sands is the head of NACAC. NACAC is from all the way down to all the way up. Mm-hmm. That's significant.
And I think we need to even have some kind of body to recognize what all have the Bahamians contributed to the international or global sports arena.
Yes.
So hopefully, and you was helping with that, reminding us on your show.
Mm-hmm.
But where do you see the Bahamas in track and field in the future?
Let me say this. We have talent. We have talent. We have talent. We have a number of great coaches in the United States.
Bahamian coaches?
Bahamian coaches. We got about 7 Bahamian coaches. Rolando Green is one of the best coaches in the world. Mm-hmm. Devin mm-hmm. Charlton, mm-hmm. that's his coach. That's his athlete.
The hurdler.
Mm-hmm. That's his athlete. But there's Rob, what's his name now? Oh, he went to St. Augustine's. I just was talking with him last night. I remember the name. He has a brother called Boogaloo. You know mm-hmm. Boogaloo?
I only know one Boogaloo. So I'm assuming that's him.
Yeah, but that's his brother.
Oh, okay.
Norbert Elliott.
Elliott, yes.
And he is one of the coaches. So we have a ton of coaches in the United States. But the plan is for the people who are here, okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, who are abroad. Need to contribute something to Bahamians.
And when you say contribute, what do you mean by that?
In terms of your coaching and all of that. And there's something that people forget completely. You ever heard about psychology and all of that? Mm-hmm. I already tell them again and again. I said that they should do that. They say, plenty of people here are doing it. Mm-hmm. Well, if you got to pay them, pay them. Mm-hmm. It makes a difference. You know anything about psychology and all of that? Mm. Yes.
Yeah.
So we'll have to pay it. I mean, whoever it is, the club, the government, or whatever it is, needs to do that.
And perhaps we need to construct a plan or bring it to the attention of the Minister of Sports. But
let me say,
everybody has vacation. Yeah, and these top coaches could come down and say, man, you can come down to paradise and we only need a week, you know, and you can spend paradise and be the king of the Bahamas whilst you tutor one or two of our sports persons during the summer.
We've done a significant amount of that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a significant amount.
Nice.
Between the B3s and other people, you know.
Good.
Yeah.
So we are here talking to Alpheus Finlayson, and if you want to come and contribute to him, the numbers are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. And we're just telling his story and the story about how he got involved in sports, how he became a sports disc jockey, how he is heralded around the world, how he represented the Bahamas around the world. But we're going to take a short commercial break, and we'll be right back. This is Guardian Radio in the AM with C.A. Nuri, and we'll see you in a couple of seconds.
J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, we've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. J.S. Johnson Insurance has the best. Always, you're always covering me. J.S. Johnson Insurance, peace of mind.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio in the AM with C.A. Nuri. And we're talking to Alpheus Hawk Finlayson as he prepares for his final show tonight at 6:30, which is Track World with Alpheus Finlayson at 6:30. So we're kind of excited about that as he celebrates his final show today. But I want to talk about the future of the B3As. And I want to talk about Weibo. You know, that's the top
and,
athlete. No, so I want to talk
Gardner.
About Gardner. And Gardner. And forgive me, Gardner. But those two. No, I want to talk about them. But let's talk about the B3As and where you see them and their role in the immediate future. General broad base. Because I know they have an election soon, and no, I don't want to talk the politics of it.
But let me say this. I believe that track and field will continue regardless of who is involved. A president does not have to go down to the stadium and coach anybody. A president has to have his group of people, his executives, who you can work with. Mm-hmm. And guess what? You know what BJ said when he left the B3As? Mm-hmm. He said, he talked about the B3As, this and that and the next thing. Mm-hmm. But you have to stick together and you have to go there for the correct reason. Mm-hmm. Not to just be on the board and don't do anything. Mm-hmm. Okay? And there's plenty of people who be on the board and don't do anything. And there's a favoritism and all of that. There's plenty of favoritism in sports.
These things happen,
specifically in track and field. And I'm sure other sporting bodies in the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm. And I see I have a phone call here, and I know we have in the last 15 minutes to have some more questions for you.
Okay.
So let me patch that caller through so they can ask their question. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me, caller?
Wrong line.
Oh, the wrong line? Okay, actually, they called the wrong line. Uh-huh. Yeah, producer. Uh-huh. Okay. But let's talk stars, sporting stars. And we have a few of them. We have like 10 major athletes, track and field athletes, what could win a medal any day, any hour of the day. But I want to talk and highlight the two main ones, which is Gardner and Weibo. And
yes.
I'm always trying to pronounce the name correct. Shaunae Weibo.
Weibo.
And where does their future, you think, in track and field? How significant, how important, how we should be as Bahamians?
All of them are still young, you know.
When you say young, what do you call that? What do you mean?
In track and field.
They're young in track and field. So they have a good 10, 20 years, you think?
No, you know, 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, people compete, some of them compete until they're 40, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that's unusual. Mm-hmm. But when you look at Miller Weibo, mm-hmm. she says she's going to either do the heptathlon,
yes.
or she is going to decide to concentrate on the 200 meters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And with the 200 meters, she has an opportunity to break the world record from Flo Jo.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Now,
I want to interrupt you. You see her transitioning from the 400 meters, because she went everything in that.
Yes.
And you see her transitioning to the 200 meters?
Yes, but she may decide to make the change, and as I said, heptathlon. Mm-hmm. And we talk about Stevie, but there's something else.
Go ahead.
You know, in the last Olympics, you know, the Tokyo Olympics,
mm-hmm.
we're talking about Devin.
Mm-hmm.
And look what she beat, the lady who broke the record in the World Championships.
Nice. So she's the future too, especially for
No, her. What I'm saying, she already beat that lady,
mm-hmm.
but you remember now, she was right there in the finals.
Yes, yes.
And she's much younger,
mm-hmm.
you know. That's what I'm talking about. But there are other athletes, mm-hmm. okay? When we look at the Commonwealth Games, the person who won the long jump
mm-hmm.
is significant. Only one person beat him.
Mm-hmm.
Only one person. And then we have some, as I say, some new people coming on. Who would do the 200, the 400, and all that kind of thing. You saw a lot of that in the NACAC Championships in Grand Bahama. They did unbelievable things against other countries from around the world.
I saw that. I did see that.
NACAC,
I see I have another caller there, producer. Patch that caller through. How you doing, caller? Can you hear me? Can you hear me now, caller?
Hello, yeah.
Go ahead.
All right. Pauline, like the Pauline Davis, she talk about the 1989 suspension. Can he highlight that and what happened there?
Yeah, your name was called.
Yeah, but look, I will tell everybody it. We went to, well, BJ was supposed to come down to the event, but he was in charge of ZNS, so he couldn't come. So I became the president.
Okay.
So guess what?
If you'd like to make a call, please.
So guess what? Mm-hmm. You know what? Mm-hmm. Jerry Wisdom never said that they were going to live. A big thing, you know, there was plenty of money involved with that. Mm-hmm. Plenty of money involved in that. So I was the president, and I told Neville Wisdom, I say we can deal with it when we come to the Chamber of Commerce. Mm-hmm. Guess what Neville said? He said, no, it's going to be done in Penland's office, the prime minister. Mm-hmm. You understand that? Mm-hmm. Now, we had our challenges. There was this writing, the next writing, and everything else. But I don't worry about that. Guess what I did for Pauline and Penland? Mm-hmm. She was able to go to the meet in one of the Commonwealth Games. Mm-hmm. It's one a little bit further to the east. Mm-hmm. New Zealand, I think it is. Mm-hmm. One of those meets. And it is only because the former prime minister connected with me, and she went to the meet.
And I appreciate the caller.
I did Penland a favor.
You did? Okay.
No, I did him a favor. He ain't God, you know.
No, I understand.
He is not God.
I understand.
It was a little politics with regards to the change in government. You remember that?
Yes. And
Pauline was one of those people who was, you know.
You see, you call
it trapped. I mean, what do you call it? Politics.
Politics.
Yeah.
And I can move from there. Yeah. I appreciate the caller calling and asking that question because that's a pressing question that a number of persons want your fleshed out.
Talk to me again and again, and I will talk to them the rest of my life.
You know,
outside.
She explained that she was hurt, and then your name got called. So I'm assuming that in your book that you need to go in detail.
No, I'm not. I finished with that.
You finished with that.
It's in the book. Everybody see it in the book. And Pauline doesn't criticize me in the book.
No.
Pauline has the book.
Yes. Okay. No problem. Mm-hmm. We can move from there. We can move there. So we have 4 more minutes.
Okay.
There are 4 more minutes to just talk about you and celebrate for you. What can we anticipate for tonight's show?
Excitement.
But all your shows are exciting.
Music, but let me say this.
Go ahead.
There are plenty of things that happen. Mm-hmm. That will happen. There is one person who is going to be on the show, okay? Mm-hmm. He was able. Peter Skinner, the pioneers. Now we went to an indoor meet in Tennessee, and Peter Skinner. We drove from Miami. Mm-hmm. Peter Skinner said, "Well, where this place is anyhow?" You know, and there was an indoor meet. 10 degrees. My brother Spence was there. Mm-hmm. 10 degrees. So that is significant. And as I say, it is. There are plenty of things that I can't see now.
Yes. You don't want to preempt the show.
What's his name was supposed to be here? Mm-hmm. Boy Blue.
Okay, nice.
And he came here the day after the show was. So he is going to be here. And I put things together where people would understand. Mm-hmm. We talk about Georgie Capron. Mm-hmm. We talk about him as somebody passed and who was Tommy Robinson's best friend. And while I was in Helsinki, Tommy and I got to know one another. That's all I'm saying.
We
got
need
to
know one another. Thomas A. Robinson book. The history of him.
But it was supposed to happen.
To
but
see
it
all
didn't
the pictures
happen.
And of who he is. It kind of let him transition.
Somebody has a book with that, but that's a door for another discussion.
So, and like I said, I have 2 more minutes. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about track clubs, right? Because there are a proliferation, they're growing, you know?
To a degree, I feel that it could be too many.
Too many track clubs?
No. But let me say this.
Go ahead.
So where are they going to train? Right down at the stadium?
In the stadium, SAC has their own track club, at least.
Forget SAC.
Well, then Government High can have their own track club. CC can have their own. I see in Jamaica, every school has a track club, right? Where they compete, where they get the future of the new Olympians in the school.
You know how long that's been going on?
We could do the same
thing. A million years.
We can start a million today.
Okay, okay.
You know? So that's what I'm concerned with.
Suggest for somebody. Mm-hmm. For that to happen.
I'm making that plea now.
Yes, yes.
You might say there's too many track clubs. I said there's too little track clubs, right?
I have some other ideas, mm-hmm. but that's a topic for another discussion.
Yes. I truly appreciate you joining me today. This was Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri, and I was interviewing the Hawk. I got to know him
Alpheus
personally.
Alpheus Alexander.
Alpheus Alexander, right? And I hope to bring him on as he goes in his retirement, right? Have a wonderful day. Take care.